Welcome to A Canadian Investing in the U.S., a podcast and YouTube channel focused on Canadians buying real estate with host Glenn Sutherland.
Welcome to a new episode of Canadian Investing in the U.S. with Glenn Sutherland. This week, my guest is John Morey. John, you want to give everybody a bit of background, a little bit about who you are, and then we'll get into our topic.
Yours. Sounds good, man. Well, I started here in May 13, 2016, when I got fired. Yes, I'm a former avionics engineer. They walked me out the door at 10 o'clock in the morning of May 13, 2016, and that was it. History. There's no turning back. You know, I just went at it full blast, both feet in. Just went at it, and I did dabble in rehabbing. Didn't like it. I dabbled in being a landlord. Didn't quite like it. Then I discovered how to do seller finance stuff. Now, that is where the money was at the time. Well, I still do that, but then now I dabble now into tiny homes. I do getting into RV parks and also now into mobile home parks. So there you go. That's just a really brief way to know what I'm doing.
Yeah, so I've been following John for, I don't know, a lot of years anyway. He has a real estate group for Northern Alabama. And so I've been, you know, you meet people, you see deals, you see all kinds of stuff. So anyway, he's a good person to have in your corner, at least to have a decent idea. This is my first time actually talking to him, but no, it's good to actually see you. How this whole podcast sort of came around to do this interview was, I should have kept the actual post, but John put a post out there about starting investing in real estate and how it might not be the best idea to start with a renovation, to start with a flip. And honestly, I thought about that post. I think you posted it on a Thursday or Friday. The whole weekend, because I just have a coaching program and I teach people how to do rehabs, right?
Yes.
I thought, honestly, what I want is my program to be, I want 100% success rate. And some people just never pull the trigger. And it's a lot of times it's, well, maybe we'll get into this, but I think a lot of it is it's just too much off the start. So anyway, maybe I'll turn this into more of an interview than me just talking. But so, John, let me just give you – I know you've worked with a lot of people who are starting out doing this. And
yes, I do.
Maybe some tips about what they are doing or maybe some fears, or maybe we'll leave this in and I'll see what I come up with for questions as we go.
Yeah, sure. You know, like I told you early on, you know, this can go very deep, but let's just try to make it as surface as possible, but then let people look at it from a top view. Mm-hmm. And if they want to go deeper, then they now can get with you so that now you can guide them on how to really get this done correctly, because rehabbing is cash intensive. Okay. So, you know, just look at it from a very, very beginner standpoint. Let's say you are a person that has no money, no knowledge, and really no experience, nothing. You just don't know anything.
Yeah.
What should you be doing to get started in real estate? To do rehab is the worst idea. Now, think about what I just said there, right? You know nothing, you're zero, you're fresh. Why would you do rehabbing? That's insane, you know, because I know from my experience, I did that and I did two simultaneously. It was miserable. It was horrible. I didn't know what I was doing. I messed up royally. But thank God, you know, that I had a little bit of money at the time. And I was able to find the right people now to help me. Well, now those are my two best Airbnbs. But these are years later. This is my first year. So that's 8 years later. I call them my education houses. Guys, you don't want to do that. You don't want to have education houses. Now, let's just pretend that the first thing you did was you decided to network with real estate groups. That's really the best thing to do first. Network people, see who the players are, who are the experienced people, and then just go with them on some of the rehabs. Or you could hire somebody that can educate you a little bit, you know, go say a contractor. Say, you know, I'm looking at this house right here. I'll pay you $100 or $150. Show me what do I need to do here. Yep. Get educated that without pulling the trigger yet. Get that knowledge. That's one of the best things that I tell people. You know, now let's just go away from the rehabbing talk.
Yeah.
You are brand new, you have no clue. I always tell people network first, then understand wholesaling. Now, wholesaling is becoming an ugly thing here in the United States because some states are making that you have to have a license kind of thing. So just be careful with that. Every state's different. Please be careful. If you're in a state that needs a license, then of course get one. But in general, what wholesaling does for you are many, many things. You learn how to negotiate. You understand contracts. Then you understand the numbers. Even as a real estate investor, I still do that, right? I still negotiate.
Yeah.
I have to read the contract. I need to know what I'm doing. And then I need to know also my numbers. Your numbers are critical. So, and I buy right. Yeah, I'm not desperate at all to buy anything, even back then.
Yep.
So to me, I always tell people that's one of the best ways. Now, there's other options out there. If you're getting yourself educated, you could do lease with option to buy. You could look at it, but there's paperwork involved there. You know, there's a lot of paperwork. Then the other one is, which is coming back again, it's called subject to, which is subject to existing note. So that's another one. So as you can see, those are just three things right there that you can get started with very little money. However, I always tell people this, get educated on all the paperwork that you need to do that. All right, let's stop right there for right now.
I could give you a dozen questions just based on that. So maybe I'll start with the end with the sub two. I've done some sub twos down in the US, and I think that one of the fears that someone who is going to do a sub two, because they're going to still basically guarantee that loan, that's still going to show up on their credit report, that they could be weary that this is like just a scam, especially if they're getting phone calls from Canada.
Exactly.
It could be one of those things, right? So I don't know. What would you say to someone who's, because a lot of times whenever I suggest these things, because I do them, that people get, they always have an answer, like the a reason why they shouldn't do this.
Okay. Let's go there. I've run into that. I do run into trying to do stuff too. I have three of them.
Yep.
And but the reason why they say yes to me is trust. That is huge. So I like to be face-to-face with the seller that I'm going to do this with, and I am very transparent. You have to be very transparent. You have to present to them what are these risks, because they're taking the biggest risk. Actually, if you think about it, they're allowing you to take over the payment. You're not assuming the note. That's the difference. They're allowing you to take over the monthly payments of this mortgage, of this note. So they have to trust you, and you have to show them all these things. And yes, if you do it correctly, there is an out for them. You have to show that. So that's another topic for later. But those are the basic things that you have to be right there in front. You have to tell them that you're going to be in the game. Please do not wholesale this deal. Boy, let me tell you, I have some friends that are attorneys that are really angry at this stuff, that when they see the whole, there's some gurus out there teaching the wholesale and stuff too. Don't do that. You need to be in the game, and there's ways to do that. I won't get into deep on that, but you have to be in the game, because you're facing that seller and you're telling the seller, I am responsible for that note. It doesn't matter if you have a partner later on, let's say you sell it later on, that doesn't matter. You are telling that seller, I am responsible for that note for you. You got to keep that number one.
Yeah. So you said no wholesaling, but I want to reiterate that. You're saying don't wholesale a subject to.
Yes, a subject to. Yeah, don't wholesale a subject to.
And for people who are wondering what that is, it's you basically split the deed and the lien on the property or the mortgage. And so they're going to hold the mortgage or the note, and you're going to take over the property. And they have a trust that you've built with them. And if you are wholesaling this to somebody else, they don't know that person. That's not the arrangement that they agreed to.
That's exactly right. You see, you hit it right on the head. You know, when I see these posts out there, I go, man, don't do that, because the seller trusts you. Not the person you're going to wholesale the contract to. No, that's a bad idea. And then now you took yourself out of the picture. Now, if that person defaults, guess who's going to hurt? The seller.
Yep.
You don't want that. You want to be, you have integrity, please. Please have integrity. Be the person that you say you're going to do this with, that you are that person that's going to say, I am going to take care of you. Because that's your message. I'm going to make money here, but I'm going to take care of you. I'm not going to let you down. I'm going to make sure this mortgage is paid off. Or paid anyway, paid.
And one thing I've done is, when I've seen wholesalers that do have some subjects twos that they're selling, which I do love that they are negotiating. So they're a little bit more advanced wholesalers if they're negotiating some creative terms. But sometimes what I will do is, instead of paying them the wholesale fee, how about I bring you in on the deal? Because then we're keeping an alignment. You are in the deal. They are trusting you. You are part of this deal. You haven't assigned this out, right?
So, yes. Beautiful. That's perfect right there. I love it.
Yeah. And so wholesaling, so this is a whole topic too that it does intimidate a lot of people. A lot of people, they when they hear wholesaling, they and people even think of wholesaling as different things. But a lot of people, they think, I don't want to pick up the phone. I don't want to make phone calls. It sounds like a lot of work. And so if someone's starting out, you still think they could do wholesaling, or you think that what would be their recommendation? Take a course on wholesaling, or could they do this from a distance? Like what? Hello, everybody. Thanks for listening to the podcast. I just wanted to let you know that I've created a new coaching program. I believe the new coaching program has way more value than any of the programs that have even existed in the past. What we've done is pre-recorded all the lessons so that you can work through it at your own pace, which is pretty cool. And then we're going to meet up on a regular basis to answer the questions, do deal analysis, and actually spend our time together working on things instead of spending our time learning things. I think this will make a seamless transition to buying in the United States and will help you solve a lot of your problems. If this is of interest to you, go to glensutherland.com/coaching. I hope to help you guys invest in the United States, and I hope we provide as much value as possible. Back to the podcast.
Well, you know, yeah, that's another topic. Yes. You have to do the virtual wholesaling, which I'm not a big fan of. I get calls from virtual wholesalers. They have no clue about the market.
Yeah.
That's why I don't deal with virtual wholesalers. I don't. Yep. They just don't know our market. And then when I ask them questions, they get mad. I'm asking them questions. I go, what do you know about the area? They go, I don't know. Well, how do you know the numbers? You don't know. So I like to deal with local wholesalers. That's just me. Okay. Everybody will do that. Now, if you're going to get into wholesaling, it's really important. What I said earlier on is network. First, network. Go to these RIAs. This is not a get rich quick thing, right? You know, when you're being in the real estate investing arena, it takes time. It's a marathon. So go in, learn, talk to people, just, you know, understand what they're doing. Then the biggest thing that I love is the moment you know who the players are, now you know what kind of projects or what kind of properties you're going to go after, because that's now your client. I have, well, at that time, I had this one wholesaler that I taught for about maybe a year, but then he became my wholesaler for 3.5 years. I was his biggest buyer. Yeah. I bought from him. All he did is, hey, John, let's look at this property. I said, okay, let's go. When we got there, he says, how much would you pay for this? I said, free. Of course, he laughs. And then he goes, no, really, how much? I said, I want 25 for that. I said, okay, I'll talk to you later. Then he'll leave. Then he'll leave. And then 30 minutes later or an hour later, he says, hey, John, you want to buy a steel for 25? I go, yeah. Okay, let's go. Let's go to lunch. It's that quick because he was trained what to look for, what I'm looking for. Those are the best. Now, virtual wholesalers, they can't do that with me.
No.
They have no clue. They don't go around. They don't check the area. They just don't know the area. But a local wholesaler that I trained did that. And it was beautiful. So for 3.5 years, that's how my portfolio went like this. I was buying 2018, you know, 2-3 properties every 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
So it was awesome.
And getting much cheaper mortgages.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, the other part of the financing, on the financing side of that, when you're the buyer, you need to have people that have money for you like this. And I did have a couple of them at that time that all I have to do is text it, say, by the way, here's the deal. What do you think? Done. Within 30 minutes. I already got it funded. So within 2 hours time, I have a deal and I got it funded.
We could do a whole episode on raising money, but a lot of that time is it starts off the first one year. You got to be really organized, show them that you know what you're doing, what this is planned. You have everything done. And then as you go, it will get easier and looser for them because they trust you. If you start off with just asking for money and a quick timeline, a lot of times they're just going to say no to you.
No, they're, yeah. You never, actually, I don't ask for money. I always present an opportunity.
Well, yes. Yeah, exactly. So back, we'll go circle back to the start, right? I know you talked about lease options too. I love lease options. But for people starting off, we're going to go down this little rabbit hole off the start. Turnkey properties. What do you think? For some of the people who, you know, they've never bought before, is this a good idea? A bad idea. I know it changes your even what you have for exit options.
Oh yeah. You know, that's a personal choice, right? You know, you already know that in real estate investing, it's wide, right? It's so wide. You have to decide, say if you have money, and then you met this turnkey operator that's really good. And he's got a good name or she's got a good name in the industry. Well, look at their operations, see how they do things. You know, you got to dig, right? before you give your money. Dig and find out how do they run the business and what kind of return are you going to get? What's your cash flow? Then when you're comfortable with that, when you understand those numbers, then now maybe turnkey's for you, because all you got to do is say, here's the money, make it run for me, and I want cash flow. You know, that's actually easy, but you have to have money.
Yep.
But see, the ones that don't have money is the other one that I was talking about.
Yeah. And one thing, because full disclosure, when I first started buying in the U.S., it was a lot of steps to do. And I started off with a few turnkey properties before I started doing rentals. Then I got in the rentals and built a business out of the whole thing. But I did start with a couple turnkeys, just a few less things to figure out off the start. And one big lesson I learned is that a lot of times they present you comps that are like fully renovated for sale, like to go on the MLS for like a flip. And what a turnkey operator typically renovates to is rent ready, which is not the same level.
Exactly.
You cannot sell that for the same prices as you think you can.
Okay. So now are we going to go down a different can of worms here? Because yeah, boy, that's one thing that I pound all the time. The after repair value is not the same across the board. You know, this is not an exact number. So what you're talking about, the rent ready, the after repair value for a rent ready is not the same for a after repair value for something to sale. Big difference.
Yep. And that's sometimes that's why people are shocked when I got, you know, I pick up a duplex and they're like, you got it for that price. And I'm like, yeah, it was rent ready. Or it was, it didn't take, like we spent money to make it rent ready, but it is not the same as these other things.
Right.
And I think a lot of people, it's one of the biggest mistakes that honestly Canadians make investing in the US is using comps that are, you know, beautifully with granite or quartz and all fully done and ready for the market. And they're buying a property that has, you know, laminate and carpet and it's not at the same level at all.
Not the same. You know, that's what I tell people when you're going to calculate your ARV, especially if you're going to wholesale, you never give them an exact number because really, you know, there was a, I made a post about that today. There is no such thing as an exact number. Okay. Looking from my perspective, I'm an engineer by trade.
Yep.
So I look at formulas and everything. A square, you can easily calculate. A rectangle, you can calculate. A triangle, you can calculate, right? Those have set formulas. An after repair value, try to get comps, even an appraisal. Yes, you have the best guess. You're going to get as close as you can, but you're not going to get an exact number. So always tell people it's actually a range, because that's what it's called, after repair. What kind of repair are you going to do? We just touched on it, right? Is it rent ready or is it for sale? Even for sale, do you going to put granite? Are you going to put diamonds in there? Are you going to put gold in there? What are you going to do? What kind of rehab are you going to do? So, you know, all that stuff has an effect. So you have to watch. That's why I say, like, for example, let's just use a number. If the selling average in the property in the area is about 150,000, that after repair value more than likely is going to be about 110, about 170. That's where that's going to be. Because depending on, is it rent ready, it'd be about 110. Rent ready.
Yep.
If you want to sell it high, yes, you want to go to the 170, but you're more than likely it's going to be in the 145, 160 range. That's where you're going to sell it. Because people they always like to go to the extreme, then they come back down instead of looking where the volume's happening. You know, that's just human nature. So, and that's what I teach that. That's exactly what I say. Look at the range. It's not a number. And, you know, my first year when I wholesaled two properties, that's all I did. I don't like wholesaling, but I wholesaled two. The same guy bought it from me. He said, John, you know why I like buying from you? I go, why? You always give me the best numbers because you're so conservative. I never say the ARV is high. No, ARV is low. And then when he renovates it, boom, he sells it really high. He goes, man, I love those numbers. So be conservative.
Yeah, we're just talking about comps too. And it's important to understand where your comps are coming from. If a wholesaler is giving it to you, what is their intention? It's to sell it for as high as possible.
As high as possible.
And and honestly, even right now, it's, well, you're in Northern Alabama, so that's still hot. But in certain parts of the U.S., it's a little less hot right now.
Yes.
And so, you know, sometimes they're pushing this and pulling even old comps to a market to dictate the price that is there. So a lot of people, they just look at these comps and they go, oh, yeah, this is a comp, and look at it. And they can even look online and see it's there. But look at the dates. Look at, like, what's the agenda of the person giving it to you? Like, it's a good starting point to get those. But I want to pull my own comps. I want somebody from my side to confirm that I'm doing this right. We were talking briefly before we started recording this, and having someone who is local, who knows the area. Like different cities run differently. If you use like apps like Neighborhood Scout, it likes to make it nice big bubbles about what the areas are like. But for instance, like I was down in Cincinnati and I was walking through the city and it would be like, terrible road, beautiful road, terrible. And you just walk down the road and you're like, is this the same city? Each road everywhere. Is different.
It happens everywhere.
Yeah.
Even like, you know, Decatur, Alabama, it's the same thing. There's a part of Decatur, Alabama. Oh my God, the houses are huge and beautiful. You go across the street. Oh, Lordy.
Yeah. And sometimes it's easy as like the, you know, where it has a nice group of them. And sometimes it's a strip and the apps don't do good with those strips. Yes. You can easily make a mistake by that. And if you're talking to, say, you're doing a flip and you talk to the realtor who is going to sell this for you, you know, that would be probably someone who's aligned with you because they need to sell it for this price. If they promise you something high, right? Even if you're working with a wholesaler to buy it, they promise you something high, they're just going to get themselves in trouble and you're not going to rehire them, right? They're in the business of repeat business if they're willing to work with investors. So I don't know. I think it's a lot of it is to figure out where you're getting these comps, because I get from my students, they'll send me a list of comps and I'm just like, where did these come from? And they're like, oh, the wholesaler gave them to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I have a beef with is because we are in this technology age, people have gotten lazy. They sit in the computer and they go from there, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. However, the bad thing, though, really about it is you really do not know your market. You don't know where you're buying. People ask me, John, do you buy all over the country? I go, no, I'm very comfortable buying 2 hours within 2 hour drive of my house. I like that. You know, I'm fine that way. And there's a lot for me. I don't have to go outside. Some people, they like all over the
state. You are in one of the best markets, though, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I like you and I talk, I like secondary and tertiary markets. I'm not really in Huntsville itself. I get better deals outside of that. And I like doing that. And plus, I like those mid to lower price points.
Yep.
You know, you got more volume of people that you can sell to or rent to, as opposed to the higher ends, like $500,000 and this many people. So, I look at the numbers. You know, it's all about the numbers. It's all about the volume. It's also about the cash flow. I love cash.
Yep. Okay. Maybe we'll sum this up quickly. Or maybe I'll say just also don't trust Zillow. But everybody should know that.
Estimates.
Yeah. They lost a lot of money a few years ago with their estimates themselves. So don't trust those. They're really rough numbers to start with. Yes. The rent comps are okay, but it's still get someone to verify all that stuff.
Yes.
Anyway, My sort of wrap up question. So let's sort of summarize what we had. So if someone has money, where would you suggest they start? And if someone has no money, where would you suggest they start?
Okay, let's first go with the money. If you have money, the easiest really is to lend. If you want to do this, team up with somebody, you fund their deal. That's the easiest really. If you think about it, you know, you're being the bank, you don't do anything. You just got to have the right paperwork in place. Get some training on that. Get the right paperwork in place and verify the person, verify the project, then you're good to go. My good friend Jeff Watson, the attorney, he said, the answer is should be yes and yes. Meaning, yes, you trust the person that you're going to make money. Yes, you don't mind taking the property back. If one of those are no, don't do the deal. Okay. Then also the other one is, you actually said it about the turnkey. That's another way. You know, when you meet people and they're good operators, do a turnkey. Understand their operation, see where your cash flow is going to be, see when do you think you could own the property already. That's always good. Now, if you have no money, now this opens up a little bit wider, okay? So first, network. You got to go network, join the RIAs and attend, you know, give yourself some time, learn, get online. There's a lot of ways out there to learn how to get into this business. Then look at doing wholesaling. You know, make sure you check the laws in your state. Look at that. See if that's good or bad, because sometimes, you know, they want you to have a license, but there's always ways around certain things anyway, right? So you can do double closing and stuff like that. So look at that. Then also look at lease options. That's another one way to do it.
Yep.
Because once you have a property under contract, you can do that. Or you could team up with somebody. You know, you're new. You don't know what you're doing. Get it under contract, then team up with somebody. Just piggyback on that person, because that person has the experience. And then, you know, then just take your time. Don't rush. Take your time. It's going to happen. Just be patient.
Yeah. And even if you have no money and you're like, I want to team up with people, there, you might not get as big a portion as you're hoping for of the deal, but you can be the deal finder. You could even be someone who is going to manage the contractor. You can add a value for something for the investors so that they take something off their plate. There's value. Just find out what your value is.
That's your helping. Fee.
Yeah, you know, that's your fee.
You share the profit. That's your fee for education.
Yeah.
And the education is going to be good if you got the right person. That is worth it because you could now quadruple that later on by just sharing that profit. That's definitely really wonderful right there.
That's good. John, let's tell everyone if they wanted to get a hold of you, wanted to find about your RIA. I know you have an event in September too. Let's throw your pitches out because I know even my students, there's a lot of them that are interested in Birmingham. And there's a lot of them that are interested in Huntsville. It is one of the hot topics. And also because I've invested there, so they feel a little more comfortable there. So I know that honestly, I know that there's some of them touring down there this summer and some are going in September into your area. So maybe let's talk about what they could go to.
To get a hold of me, just my number is 256-469-3099. And we do have a meetup. It's a North Alabama real estate investors meetup. It's on meetup.com. So go there. You'll find us there. And then also, this is the first time that the second time now. We call it Southern Charm 2.0. We did this last year. I was a former salsa instructor and I hosted a lot of events. So throwing an event was nothing for me. So I just shot from the hip. July last year, I said, you know, let's do this event. And boy, I was expecting about 50. We had over 75 people, and it was amazing. I got the instructors and the sponsors in 2 weeks' time. So it was really good. So they said, John, you got to do another one. Okay, so we're doing it on September 19th to the 21st. It's called Southern Charm. RE.com. So www.southerncharmre.com. And you could Google it, you know, this North Alabama Southern Charm event. And it's going to be awesome. It's at Lake Guntersville. There's a nice lodge up there. Guys, just look it up.
Okay.
The lodge, Lake Guntersville, Alabama. It is a beautiful place. So the reason why people come, one is the place. The view is amazing of Lake Guntersville, which is about 7,000 square miles lake. It's huge. Yeah. So you're up there on the edge looking at it. Oh man, it's just wonderful. That's one. And the speakers are so, you know, a lot of them, they're really wonderful. Like Pete Fortunato's coming. That's the big daddy right there. He's coming. You got Jeff Watson. You got John Heyer. You know, you got Mary Hart. Oh man, these are my friends, you know, and it takes time to develop this friendship, right? Over the years, they said they want to come and they want to help the people in North Alabama, because we don't have anything here. Now we have something in North Alabama. So you guys that are listening to this, come on, join us. Let's have a great time. Let's have some margaritas. It's going to be awesome.
Maybe I'll head down. I'll look, I'll have to check my schedule for September. I haven't been down to Alabama in about 3 years. No, COVID's changed all my timelines, but I think it was just before COVID that I was down there last.
Oh boy. That's a long time, brother.
Is that 4 years ago? Five years? I don't know what it is, but I was down there just before COVID, but it's been a few years and I have to go down. I bank in Huntsville for all of my stuff in the U.S. And sometimes it's nice to touch base with them and just continue the relationship.
Just hang out and have fun.
Yeah. And go to these meetups or events and, build your team. Find some other contacts. Even if you already have a team there, have a backup contractor. Contractors, They're good for so long until you need to find some until That's someone right. you need until you need someone else.
I'm gonna hit on what you said, which is people ask me all the time. So why even go through these events? I already know what I'm doing. You don't know all of it. Here's one thing I tell people all the time: go to the events. It doesn't matter how much knowledge you have. Pete Fortunato, he still goes to events. John Schaub, they still go to events. These are the big dogs, 60 years of doing real estate.
Robert Kiyosaki still goes to other people's events.
Yes, he does. So I always tell people, you never know who you're going to meet to elevate your business. I want you guys to remember that. Even if anything else, remember this. Go to an event because you never know who you're going to meet that's going to elevate your business. It happens to me actually all the time.
Yeah,
I go there and before I'm talking to somebody, they go, hey, John, I've heard about you doing these tiny homes. Start talking about tiny homes before you know it, boom, this person that wants to be teaming up with me and me also helping them. Yeah. How's that? You just never know.
You never know. And even sometimes it's just a thought. I went to a meetup or event in Florida and I just I was thinking I needed to grow and go a certain direction. And anyway, just having, being around people who are doing a lot of really big things, sometimes they're just like, they'll help you realign. If you have a good talk over a drink, and sometimes you just get that one piece of information, like a couple one sentences nugget that can literally change the rest of your year or your life.
Yes. Yes. And then whatever you were thinking, you go, I'm so glad this guy talked to me because I was going down the wrong path.
Exactly.
That alone right there, that's a blessing. That's worth the admission right there.
Yep.
That's it.
These people have already done, put the hard knocks in, had their, what was it you called it, the two test properties or education properties.
Yeah, my education houses.
Yeah, you do the education house. They've done their education houses, and maybe you could skip that education house period.
Yes. Oh, my Lord. Man, you said it. I love it. That's really good what you said right there. I like that a lot.
Awesome. John, great chat. Thanks for coming on the show. Honestly, I think even just from this, I put a bunch of notes. Maybe we'll get you on back on the show just before your event in September.
You might regret it, my friend. You might regret it.
Well, thanks again, John. This was a great chat.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
That was a nice video. Bye.